So an ancient Coptic text. Now, this is interesting to me. You know, I always find this interesting how things are sold. Like in the first thing that we talked about, we talked about, and for those who are watching the daily video, the first thing that we talked about was about how there's a place in the brain that's found to contain spirituality and God's not needed. It's interesting how these things are packaged. So the title of this, the headline says ancient Coptic text revealed to be a divination tool for predicting the future. Okay. Interesting. Now, there are other headlines that say it's a Christian text, which, you know, Coptic Christian, that's it all really just depends on locality. But usually you don't find the word Christian and divination tool in the same sentence. But anyway, so it's an interesting story. An ancient Christian oracle book of mysterious origins has recently been translated and found to contain a collection of encouragements, warnings, and cryptic divinations. Now, the 15-year-old tome, measuring less than 3 inches in height, has been translated from Coptic, which is an Egyptian language, and has surprised experts who initially presumed it was a typical gospel and understood it in the traditional sense and thought it was a recounting of the life and death of Jesus. However, despite being titled The Gospel and Lots of Mary, this miniature codex is not about Christian figures, but instead it's a book of guidance and reassurance to be used as a resource for those seeking help for life's problems. So according to Live Science, this volume is very unique. Professor of Religion at Princeton University, Anne Marie, I should not even try to pronounce this last name, Luijendijk. I don't know if that's Slavic or what. Anne Marie, who was appointed as head of Wilson College in 2017, she writes in her book, Forbidden Oracles, The Gospel of the Lots of Mary, quote, "When I began deciphering the manuscript and encountered the word gospel in the opening line, I expected to read a narrative about the life and death of Jesus as the canonical gospels present, or a collection of sayings similar to the Gospel of Thomas, which is Gospel of Thomas, a non-canonical text," end quote. However, upon translation of the elegantly written Anne Marie discovered few references to Jesus in the series of 37 oracles. So the gospel may have been this particular text that may have been used for divination or prediction of the future. Live Science writes that a person with a problem could have asked a question of the book and gone through a process of randomly selecting one of the passages, and the book owner may have assisted as a diviner to interpret the written word. And it's also suggested that the book may have been referred to by an owner when needing guidance or solutions. It may have been open to a random page to find a divinely inspired advice, which is kind of funny because I don't know if you've ever remembered doing this when you were a kid at church and you were bored. Did you ever do that where, you know, you and your friends from church, you just flip through the Bible and point to something and read it, and then you think that it's going to apply somehow? Well, it's really weird. Now, I think that's, you know, if you're doing it as kids, you're just kids playing around. You're not like actively involved in witchcraft or divination or anything. But it's interesting that apparently there were early Christians from 1500 years ago that were doing this. Now, I don't know if that falls in line with what we would think of as divination in a Christian sense, as in don't do that because it's wrong and evil. I don't know. I when it comes to that kind of stuff, I say it's just best to not, you know, it's best to just pray. And then if you're reading, if you just happen to read something that hits and you feel that that's an answer from God, sure, that's happened to me. And I've talked about that before. But to try to initiate something, I think that's where divination in the wrong sense and in the sense where the Bible condemns it, I think that's where that comes into play. If you're actively trying to get it kickstarted, you know, so to speak, you know, it's kind of like, you know, God can catch you up to heaven and give you a nice vision and everything. You know, that can happen. And I believe that sort of stuff does happen. But if you go out of your way to meditate and try to astral project to get yourself there, then that's wrong. International Business Times provides examples of the translated entries, citing, so here's one passage that says, "You know, O human, that you did your utmost again. You did not gain anything but loss. dispute and war, but if you are patient a little, the matter will prosper through the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, end quote. Sort of sounds like a Christianized version of a fortune cookie or something. Here's another entry. Quote, stop being of two minds, O human, whether this thing will happen or not. Yes, it will happen. Be brave and do not be of two minds, because it will remain with you a long time and you will receive joy and happiness, end quote. Now, of course, we don't find anything like this in scripture, an actual God-breathed, inspired scripture. There's nothing like this because it would be too easy. It'd be really just too easy to disprove. I mean, it's like a magic eight ball. You know, maybe it'll be right sometimes, but it's going to be wrong sometimes, too. So that's why this divination stuff, that's why for lack of better word, frowned upon, you know, from the Bible. It's actually just strictly forbidden. But so divination, the word, it's from the Latin to foresee or to be inspired by God. And it's the idea of gaining insight into the future or learning the answers to troubling questions through really occultic rituals and with sacred objects. It's a practice that's existed all throughout time, across cultures all around the world, not unlike fortune cookies or horoscopes, like I just mentioned, or tarot cards or other means of divination. So the Gospel of the Lots of Mary seems a tool of this type of thing. So Anne Marie, right? I feel bad using her first name, but I don't even know where to start with her last name. But she writes, quote, the practice of casting lots to obtain an answer was widespread in antiquity. It was a method applied in decision making on all levels of ancient society as a religious practice. Lot divination was also highly contested as access to these practices and thus to the divine meant control of powers religiously and socially, end quote. Now, I tend to think that casting lots is a little different because you're assigning, even lots though, I don't know. Even that, I don't know. Well, for example, there is a story of, and I forget who right now, but one of the prophets somewhere in the Old Testament, somebody will have to tell me what it is, but one of the prophets, he was asking God a question. He was worried about something. I can't remember if it was a war or something like that, but he took I think it was like a doormat or a blanket or something and put it on his floor, and he prayed and said, okay, Lord, if I wake up and this thing is soaking wet, then it'll mean this thing and that I should go and do this. And if it's still dry, then I'll do this other thing. And he woke up and it was wet, and then he had his answer. So it seems like when we allow God, not that we have to allow God to do anything, he'll do what he wants. But if we're trying to work with God and get an answer, but we're not doing the one that's, we're not trying to initiate it. We're like giving him the option. It seems to be different. But even that today, I wouldn't throw a towel on the ground and say, well, if it's wet tomorrow, then I guess I'll have to, you know, go move out of state or whatever decision that I'm coming up with. But I also wouldn't cast lots. I wouldn't flip a coin. I wouldn't make decisions like that, whether that's right or wrong. I would pray, and then I would just trust that God would lead me to the right decision. Maybe that's a form of that. I don't know. But is casting lots divination? I don't know. you know, God seemed fine with the wet blanket thing on the floor. I don't think that would be divination necessarily. It seems like actual divination means that you're trying to force an answer. You know, you're the one that's going to tell God he's got to give you an answer. And I think when you're actually trying to work with God, I think he can tell you in a variety of ways. But I think just, you know, praying, trusting that God will show you, I think that's the way to go. And maybe it varies from person to person because we are all different. If you have kids of your own, think about how you talk to your kids. Your kids have different personalities. You probably talk to them each a little bit different, playing to their strengths and trying to help them through their unique weaknesses. So anyway. Continuing on, this discovery follows the translation of another ancient Egyptian codex written in Coptic, which dates back 1,300 years and deciphered for the first time in 2014. The page refreshed, so now I got to go and find it again. It's just not letting me see it anymore. But anyway, yeah, there have been other texts like that have been translated in the past. I mean, it's all really interesting stuff, and it is interesting that historically this stuff was going on, because, you know, I wouldn't think of Christian, you know, I think typically we wouldn't think of Christian divination as a thing, because how could divination be Christian? But of course, that's just a title that people who find this put on it. But anyway, so that, yeah, there was another Egyptian codex that was written in Coptic. It dates back 1300 years, and it was deciphered for the first time in 2014. And it's kind of similar. So, okay. So that's really interesting, and I'm curious to know what your thoughts are on it. Is casting lots divination? Should we be partaking in any of that? I mean, I say no. I think it's best to just let God lead. You don't need to do any of that. It's not like you have to have that for God to talk to you. You know, I mean, if God wants to talk to you, he'll talk to you. God's not going to be up there in heaven saying, "Oh, well, he didn't cast lots, or he didn't flip a coin, so guess there's no way I can tell him what he's got to do." You know, it doesn't work like that. He's your father. You can pray to him and you can ask him questions.
You can help fight against censorship by making a one-time donation or setting up a monthly donation to Josh Peck Disclosure at joshpeckdisclosure.com/donate. Or for as little as $1 a month, you can become a Peck patron by heading over to patreon.com/joshpeck. As a Peck patron, you will be entered into contests to have your content featured on the Josh Peck Disclosure homepage, contribute chapters to a collaborative book with Josh Peck, and win a special Josh Peck collection full of materials worth hundreds of dollars. Also, for as little as $3 a month, you will have access to free downloads of Josh Peck books, such as Quantum Creation, Cherubim Chariots, and more. Josh Peck Disclosure is viewer-funded. Head on over to joshpeckdisclosure.com for more information. Right now, head on over to joshpeckdisclosure.com, the central hub for everything Josh Peck Disclosure. Every day, you'll get brand new videos, podcasts, updates, and more. Make sure you subscribe at youtube.com/joshpeckdisclosure. Also, make sure you click the bell and select the option to always be notified when a new video is released. Follow Josh Peck Disclosure on Twitter at JPDisclosure and get involved with the show on our official Facebook page at facebook.com/joshpeckdisclosure. Disclosure. If you're on Steemit and prefer DTube, follow Josh Peck at steemit.com/@Josh Peck and make sure to upvote all Josh Peck Disclosure DTube videos. Keep checking back at joshpeckdisclosure.com for news, information, updates, and more.